From the headquarters of Swinnerton, this is the Modern Built Environment podcast, featuring exclusive interviews with world-class thought leaders, executives, and civic leaders committed to a better and more beautiful built environment. Established in 1888 and built on a foundation of integrity, trust, and collaboration, our history has prepared us for this moment. Possibility is limited only by our imagination. We know what tomorrow can bring because we've seen thousands of tomorrows and are prepared to shape what comes next. Pride of ownership, peace of mind. Our podcast is hosted by Tom DiOro of The Modern Architect at KZSU at Stanford University. Go to swinnerton.com/podcast.
Our guest today, please welcome Art Gensler. Art Gensler founded his firm in 1965. An architect, he is widely credited with elevating the practice of design to professional standing, and is a fellow of both the American AIA and International Interior Design Associates, as well as a professional member of the Royal Institute of British Architects. Gensler's global team of over 6,000 people shaping the future of cities every day, and per their company mantra, it starts with their vision to create a better world through the power of design. For more information, feel free to visit Gensler.com. Again, that's Gensler.com. Hey, Art, with that introduction, hello. How are you, Art? I know we talked before we got on our show.
I'm fine, and thank you for the introduction.
Oh, thank you.
Interesting time to be an architect. It's an interesting time to be any place. This is this pandemic has been, and this virus attack has been something that is truly going to change the world. Where I thought we would snap back and be like we were, I'm now convinced that we won't be anything like we were before. We, as a firm and the country and the world, it's a change maker like a world war or something. Everything has had to change, and I'm not saying it's all going to be bad, but it's unfortunately, at least our projections, going to be a lot slower recovery. It's not going to be a big V-deep recovery. It's going to be a much more of a slower slope, and so we are, and just finished last week 4 days of executive meetings for the Gensler leadership team, trying to plan and work and determine how we're going to stay in business, and mostly how we're going to service our clients. We've got thousands of wonderful clients that have been around for a long, long time, and we have a responsibility to be their trusted advisor and provide whatever they need. And some of it isn't pretty. Some of it's downsizing. Some of it's abandoning things, some changing their whole business. The retail world is trying to figure out what they're doing, and other parts of the world are trying to figure out what they're doing. But we're trying to be a part of that process, and our practice area leaders have done a phenomenal job of analyzing their practice and coming up with ways that we can be of assistance to our clients.
Excellent. Now, we talked before our show, Art, about you were once 50 offices, and now you're 6,500 offices?
Yep.
Yeah, share with us how that massive shift.
One day we were 50 offices, and the next day we told everybody they couldn't come to the office, make their house their office. And so we've got 6,500 people out there, each with a computer and set up and tied into our network. And believe it or not, they're more productive than they were working in the office. I find that hard to believe, but we keep very, very close track of productivity, and they're very productive. And we're obviously investigating and analyzing, and we'll move back in sections when we can start to move back. But my guess is that a whole bunch of people won't, in fact, move back. They'll stay in their homes and come in occasionally. But that may be very helpful, because as we have to re-space for the distance, the 6 feet between people, we're going to have to relay out an office space. And we've got people much tighter than that now. And so when you open it up, we'll probably be able to accommodate, I don't know, 2/3 of what we had before or something. And the rest of them will probably be working at home.
How was this for you, just in your experience, Art? And I'm going to refer back to your book, if you don't mind. Art's Principles is, I've read it several times over, is there are many chapters in the book, and actually many of your lessons, that you're able to adapt to what we thought, we would never have thought in our wildest imagination, what we're all experiencing with the pandemic right now. How is your experience looking at, you know, how to move forward for the next 50 to 100 years? I know that's a real stretch.
It's interesting question, and I have a funny answer. My partner who helped co-write the book, Mark Lindemeyer, and I were talking the other day, and he said we ought to do an updated version of the book. And I thought, well, maybe that, I don't really, I'm sort of did that and I wanted other things, and I'm starting to slow down a little bit. So I sat down and I dug out a bunch of old notes, and I wrote out about five potential chapters that I thought might be interesting. And then I went back and I read the book, and each one of the chapters that I wrote about was built on the existing chapter. But I realized that I didn't want to change anything. The stuff that I thought in the work that I just wrote is really already in the book. I'm really proud of that. That the book, really, I didn't see anything that I, there were some refinements that were minor, but it didn't seem worth reissuing the book for a few changes of words, but I really had covered all those. And I just was finished reading a book about Bill Campbell, the gentleman who was the coach for Steve Jobs and all the people at Google and all sorts of other people. And I realized how many things that I never had heard of him before, really read the book. And how many things in the book were principles that he was using. So I'm pretty confident that what we wrote is a good roadmap for people, and it certainly allowed our firm to grow and morph and adapt and address these things. As the leadership team that's running the firm now reminds everybody, we've been through four big dips in the market, and we've come out of each one of them stronger than we went in. And that it was terrible at the time, and we had to lose people. But we surged. We got in the issue, got behind it, and got ahead of everybody else. And we came roaring out four times. So we had a worldwide broadcast by the two co-chairmen. They had 2,000 or 3,000 people on a broadcast, and I listened to it again yesterday. And what they're basically saying, look, people, we've been through this four times. We did well every time we came out of it. This is a time, our chance to just take off again. We got to get through it. We got to work hard. It may be slow, but we come out of these things fine. We don't die. We get better and better and better. And I saw some of our young people, potential leaders for the next generation, make presentations. And they did a fabulous job. And I wasn't sure, but I saw them that they were quite ready. But I saw the other day that clearly they are, and they're developing their ideas and design synergy and other things that are really going to take us to new levels.
Excellent. You know, there's something that I've thought a lot about you and our years knowing each other is and I've never told this to you until now, is there's a timelessness to a lot of what you're doing, Art, and you sharing what's in the book and how, wait a minute, why do I need to have an update to this, because so much of this has been addressed, is there's a timelessness, obviously, with your work and with Gensler. Have you ever thought of that, there's no like, oh, this is good for now, but you know, and we're moved on to a new era. There's just like a seamless, I don't even know if, is that a word, timelessness? I don't know, but I think you get the gist of it.
Well, the answer is, it's sort of, which is sort of vague, but I always believed I was building an organization that would continue and was not, when I died or stopped work or the next, very few firms go to the fourth generation of leadership, and we're going there, and we'll be in great shape, and that makes me very proud that the goal that I had at this fact will hopefully be around for 100 years or something. We're in our 55th year, and my vision is that it'll go for 100 years. So the things that we've done, we think are basic to the way you treat people and the way you solve problems and think about things, and they've certainly worked pretty well for us. And so I'm pretty proud of the fact that we don't have to go and then throw the book away and start over again. We think the book's pretty decent, and so we'll keep following it. And but that's not to say we aren't adding and modifying and doing things. Clearly, my personal weakness right now is technology. I am absolutely flabbergasted that you and I got on this Zoom without a disaster. I have been on the Zoom calls for 2 weeks now, and we had our whole board meeting of four days on a Zoom call. You'd go to a meeting, which I think is easier, but everybody's using Zoom. But I had to get my assistant, technology assistant, a guy named Sergio, to help me every time. And then half of the time I missed a third of the meeting because I couldn't get it to work. And this, you and I turned on and it worked. And
so here we are.
It was great. It was really, really nice.
Excellent.
It is not my usual performance in technology. And I bring that up because the world is getting so complicated, and technology and data is the key. One of the things that we are very proud of is we're really very data rich and keep track of things in a very detailed way. And therefore, our clients are taking advantage of that and asking us to help them get their own data in order. And we're doing a lot of that for them.
Excellent. You're listening to the Modern Built Environment podcast brought to you by Swinnerton. We're talking today with Art Gensler, founder of Gensler. For more information, feel free to visit Gensler.com. That's Gensler.com. Art, referring back again to your book, share with us a little bit about how it came about in the title.
Well, I suppose like anybody, I was over the lifetime of giving a lot of speeches and talks and fireside chats to people in the firm and people outside the firm. And I've collected a lot of thoughts. I didn't go to business school. We're now $1.5 billion business. And so I was running and helped build with the team, current team that's brought it to where it is, a very complicated business and a very large business. And so I've learned as I went along. And so I've got a lot of notes. And so people have said, are you going to write a book? And I've kept saying, no, I don't write very well. And I don't. And then I ran into Michael Lindemeyer, who through my son, who met him sitting on the floor of a tent in Saudi Arabia on a Turkish carpet. But anyway, Michael came in. We sat in the house I'm sitting in now and spent 4 days, because I could never figure out how I wanted to put my ideas together on paper. I didn't want it to be a textbook, and I didn't want it to be a novel or a biography. I wanted it to be sort of the knowledge that we've created from the firm. And Michael came up with the idea of these small chapters. I think there are 62 small chapters. And you could get the punchy points in those chapters and not drag it on and make it boring reading, but and you could start any place you wanted or dig into any section you wanted, just look it up and go to that page. You don't miss anything if you don't, if you miss something, but there's no sequence to the way it's set up. It's just a lot of information, and it seems to flow and work pretty well. And so I did this, and it's been an interesting process, and it's now in Spanish published, and it's in China published, and the Chinese one has really taken off. And believe it or not, the book looks exactly like the U.S. book, except that it's in Chinese. They took all the drawings, and they took all the little drawings that are in sketches and that had English words, and they replaced it with the Chinese words. But it color is perfect. The book is printed exactly the same way, and it's so. And they're really finding that because they never had small businesses, everything was owned by the government, that they needed some understanding of how a small business gets started and how you work with a client and how you make money. And this is all kind of new because it was always run by the government before. And now these people are becoming entrepreneurs and learning that, but not have anybody to teach them. So they've gravitated to my book, and I'm forever happy that they learn it. I think they'll be better people for it, and we'll have a better relationship with them.
Art, also, going back to that small business and how you get started, share with your audience today how you got started with your firm.
Well, I guess in college, in the architecture world, everybody is told, start your own business. You're an architect, you're like a designer, you're like an artist, you express yourself. And so they never encourage you to join a major firm. They always encourage you to demonstrate your abilities. I didn't quite understand that, and I'm not the greatest artist ever, to say the least. But I started in a fairly large firm and went on to others. And I was and had a bunch of kids that I needed to, and I had three children. And so I needed to make some money. And I didn't have my mom and dad where I was a depression baby. And so their commitment was to get me through college. That was it. From then on, it was on my own in my life. I married my wife at college. And we had a pretty good start, and all of a sudden, I was talking one evening to a gentleman named Don Woodkey, who was a classmate of mine in San Francisco, and he and I had worked together in a firm. I was sort of number two person in smallish firm, and he had gone off and said he's tired of architecture and wanted to be a developer and went to work for what's called the Golden Gateway, a very large redevelopment project in San Francisco. And he said, we're just talking, he said, gee, I got to find an architect to do the interiors for the Alcoa building, a 440,000-foot office building in San Francisco. And the two people that firms that know how to do this are both committed to other buildings. And I said, well, that doesn't sound so hard. Why don't I do it? What is it? I don't know what it is. It was called tenant development. And so he said, well, you go meet with people and show them how you fit into the Alcoa building. It seemed okay. So I went to my boss, a gentleman named Bill Worcester, Bernardi and Emmons. Bill was a famous dean of Berkeley and MIT, and but a terrific man. And he was in a wheelchair at that time. And I leaned down to him and I said, Bill, I really have a chance to start my own firm, but I have no spare cash. And so they agreed to pay me every 2 weeks. But I'm still going to need to keep a job with you. So can I work for you in the mornings and then be on my own the afternoon doing this other project? And he said, you ought to start your own firm. That'd be great. Start your own firm and work here as much as you want. We'll pay you. So I did. And I worked part-time from, well, maybe September to January 1966, when I officially had an office, but I was running a business and doing projects in 1965. And I didn't know what a tenant development was, and I got a few books and looked it up, and there wasn't much written on it, and the brokers and the people and I sort of invented. And so I've been claimed the father of tenant development, which a lot of people kept yelling at me. When are we going to do real architecture? And me, I believe we do real architecture doing tenant work, just as we do when we do the Shanghai Tower, the second tallest building in the world. What we unusually is that we do everything in between those two and not just specialize in one type of thing.
Excellent.
So I got started and had a few commitments. One, I wasn't ever going to go into debt. Two, I was going to build a firm with people smarter than I was and hired some great people. And three, that we were going to continue to the next generation and the next generation. And so I started things like a profit sharing plan and ultimately an employee stock owners plan called an ESOP, and had bonus programs and made the audacious statement that I didn't know why architects gave their business away. I was there to make money. I read a line that was, people value what they pay for and don't value what they get for free. So these free, show you a free design. This is stupid. They don't value it. They don't pay attention to it. But if they have got some skin in the game, then they value it, then they pay attention to it. And that's the way we've built our businesses. We've become a trusted advisor to people. And we like our clients, and we've been with them a long time. One of the clients, the bank we use, Bank of America, we've been a customer of the Bank of America for over 50 years, and they've been a client for over 50 years. That's the kind of relationship we like.
Excellent. You're listening to the Modern Built Environment podcast presented by Swinnerton. We're talking today with Art Gensler, founder of Gensler. For more information, feel free to visit Gensler.com. Again, that's Gensler.com. Art, I know you're touching on this now, but can you share with us a bit more about the culture and family that you've created at Gensler?
Well, I think culture is everything. If you don't have a great, strong culture, a commitment to ethics and commitment to service the public and service your clients and be part of a community and give back, then, you know, you're just it's a job. And ours is sort of a calling. We love what we do. We're lucky that we have an opportunity to have enormous impact, as it's turned out. We do think we touch multi-millions of people every day in our facilities. And whether they be airports or stadiums or offices or stores or whatever, people are walking through Gensler space or working in Gensler space all over the world. And it's true. But I think during this horrible mess that we're going through with the viruses right now, that even though our people are scattered in their own homes and not all together, other than they having, you know, video conferences like this, they are giving back to the community. And I saw a list a couple of days ago of what they've done in the last 4 months, and it's just unbelievable. The commitments, the money that they've raised, the help that they've given, they've got our 3D printers printing shields for doctors and nurses. They've helped in food kitchens and homeless people, which is a big drop out of this mess. And so they do that in addition to doing a very intense job working out of your house. And they do it and put all these programs together through a video conference and a phone calls rather than sitting around a table. And I tell you, it's got to be harder. Mm-hmm. And yet they're making us and the firm leadership incredibly proud of them. And we've got Diane Hoskins and Andy Cohen, who are co-CEOs, and we've got three other Dan Whitey, Michael, Robin Clare, and Joe Bancata. The five of them are the executive directors, and they really have done an amazing job of commitment. And we have now a person who is full-time working with each of our offices, making what are your commitments going to be in your office and helping coordinate that effort. So I never thought that an architecture firm would have a commitment officer for contributions and other programs, help the community to give back. But we do, and we feel that's a much a part of our responsibility is doing great architecture and solving client problems.
Art, we're coming to the close of our interview, at least this interview with you. Is there anything that we may not have touched on in your show today that you'd like to share with your audience?
I think all of us in this country and the world are going to have to go through a really difficult upheaval. But we're, as a firm, committed to do it, come out the other side better and stronger than ever, and have a relationship with our clients like no firm has ever had before. So we're excited about it. We know how much work it is and ahead of us, but we're excited that we can be a part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Art, it's been an honor and joy having you on the Modern Built Environment podcast today. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure talking and in this case, obviously not being with you in person, but at least still being with you. Thank you very much, Art.
This worked very well, Tom. We can do it again.
Thank you very much. I love doing this. Take care. You've been listening to the Modern Built Environment podcast brought to you by Swinnerton. You can find us online at swinnerton.com/podcast. Our guest today has been Art Gensler, founder of Gensler. For more information, feel free to visit gensler.com. Again, that's gensler.com. Please join us again next time when we welcome another leading architect, engineer, builder, manufacturer, or civic leader committed to building a better and more beautiful built environment for healthier cities, communities, and lives. I'm Tom DiOro.
The Modern Built Environment podcast is recorded at the Swinnerton headquarters and on location. The recording engineer is Stephen Blatton. The executive producer and host of the Modern Built Environment podcast is Tom DiOro. And we're all assisted by Mr. Eric Foster. This is the Modern Built Environment podcast by Swinnerton.